Good morning. How are you guys doing? Well, I am excited for the opportunity to share with you all this morning. And as Pastor Derek said, we've been in this series on one anothering. And today, this morning, we're going to take one step further in that series. So we're going to be looking at John 17, 14 to 21, if you want to turn in the scriptures there. And it'll be up on the screen for us this morning. This is what it says. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We love you so much, and thank you for the gift that you have given us in your word. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning, that your word would penetrate our hearts, that it would speak to exactly where we are, and that there would be something in it for each of us, Lord. We don't want to leave the same as we came here today. And Lord, I offer myself as a sacrifice to deliver your word this morning. I pray that you would speak through me and that the Holy Spirit would communicate with each one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you all ever seen the movie A Walk to Remember? Yeah? Yeah, okay. There's a lot of hands for A Walk to Remember. So it's a movie from the early 2000s. I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit of a girly movie, but I have an older sister. And so when you have an older sister and you're growing up, she gets to pick what you watch most of the time. So we watched a lot of A Walk to Remember. But so this movie, it's about this guy and this girl in high school. And the guy is a bit of a jock. He's kind of your typical, you know, rough around the edges kind of guy. He's got a good heart, though, kind of thing. And so he gets in trouble with the school, and so he ends up having to be in this school play. And this girl is not, she's not his type, or so he thinks at all. But she offers to help him with this school play that he has to be in. But so, and you know, they fall in love, as expected. Can we all say aw? One, two, three, aw. And so they fall in love. But it turns out that she is sick. She's very sick. But she has a bucket list of things that she wants to do. And so much of the movie is about their relationship and how he makes it a point to fulfill a lot of the things on her bucket list. And so one of the things that she wants to do is she wants to be in two places at once. Y'all remember this? She wants to be in two places at once. So how do you make that happen? How do you make somebody be in two places at once? He drives her to the state line, and he tells her to put one foot on either side of it. He says, two places at once. And that's how they make this happen. And for us as Christian people, this is a lot of the tension of how we are to live our lives as Christian people. We're often living in between these two worlds that Jesus has called us to. There's a tension in what Jesus is saying in these verses in John 17 that we read. We're called to live out our life in community, but we're also called to be a light to the world. We're to live here in the world, but we're to not be of the world. And there's a lot of tension in how we do those two things. We're called to live between two worlds. And that's the title of our message this morning. We're living in the tension of our purpose statement for this series. And this is what we want to step into a bit this morning. I'll remind you that this is what we're focused on in this series. The creator of our community calls us to imitate Jesus in sacrificial love towards one another so that we can share that love with people outside our community. And today, the focus of our message is that statement that's right in the middle. It says, so that. Sacrificial love towards one another so that we can share that love. Up to this point in this series, we've talked about a few things. Pastor Derek talked about us being created for one another. And what he said is, the focus of God's redemptive action is not on me living out my faith, but us living out our faith. No one of us can achieve God's vision on our own. It's a vision for us, not for me. Then Pastor Kelly taught us about accepting one another, And she told us to not put any disputable matters or stumbling blocks between ourselves and our brothers and sisters. And then last week, Pastor Mason talked to us about encouraging one another. And he told us that we have been given to one another as a gift to encourage each other against the temptation to abandon our faith. And this morning, we're taking the next step. Why are we created for one another? Why do we accept one another? Why do we encourage one another? See, the series up to this point has been about how we interact with each other as Christian people within the walls of this church, how we interact with each other as the family of God. These things in the purpose statement are how we imitate Jesus in sacrificial love towards one another. The next step of the work for us is that we are to share that love with people outside of our community. And these are the two worlds that we have to live between. It's the two different sides of this statement, and we're called to balance them out well. So this is, I got a bit of an illustration for you this morning. So I want you to imagine that this is imitating Jesus in sacrificial love towards one another. This is sharing that love with people outside of our community. So when we only choose one side of these things over the other, there are ill effects of either of those things. So just imagine that we are filling ourselves with a loving community. We're filling ourselves with the community that is loving. We're overflowing with this community, okay? So this is where we get to. And so we've done the first half of it. But if this is where we stop, then we got a problem. Because if I just keep on filling this up and I never pour any of it out, it may seem good to be overflowing, but at a certain point we get to an issue. This won't happen while I'm standing up here because it's not enough time. But have you ever smelled water that's been standing for a long time? It stinks. And at a certain point, this water would start to stink because it's still. I remember when I was... when I lived in Texas, we would take some high school kids to a youth camp, and disgusting, but some of the showers, the boys' showers, you can imagine that the boys' dorms did not smell great, but one of the showers had like a draining problem, and so like there would just be water that would sit in the bottom of the shower, and you go in there, it would just be the most awful smell, along with the smell of high school boys. And when we are only imitating love towards each other in this community, this is what it's like. We're filling ourselves more with community. We're filling ourselves with the word. We're filling ourselves with prayer. We're filling ourselves with time with the Father. But it just ends up staying right there. You know, Ezekiel prays about this. Ezekiel has a vision about this in Ezekiel 47. He talks about fresh water flowing towards the Dead Sea. And the thing about the Dead Sea is this is the lowest point on earth, and it has no outlet. See, there's nothing necessarily wrong with salt water, but because there's no fresh water that's flowing there, there's so much salt in it that nothing can actually live there. And that's not what we want. We want to fill ourselves with loving community, but when we only live on that side of things, we forget that God has a heart for the world. He has a heart for people that are not like us, that he has a heart for people who do not yet know him. But then there's the other side of this. So if I fill myself with love from my community, and all I ever do is pour that love out, imitating that love to people outside of the community, at a certain point, I'm out. And I don't have anything left. And sometimes we find ourselves in this place where we're trying to pour out something that we no longer have. And this is where we find burnout. This is where we find ourselves getting cynical. This is where we find ourselves becoming disillusioned, because love is the thing that should be spurring us on, but we can't give out a love that we're not receiving. So we have to balance the two sides of this thing. I have to fill myself with loving community, and then I have to give it out. I have to fill myself with loving community and give it out. We have to continue so that we don't become stale on one side of things, but then we don't become empty on the other side. Are you with me? Amen. What I'm trying to say, that living on either side of this equation, this statement, is incomplete. The creator of our community calls us to imitate Jesus in sacrificial one another, and sacrificial love towards one another. That's an incomplete statement. That's an incomplete thing for us to be doing. And also, sharing that love with people outside of our community is also an incomplete thing for us to be doing. What we should be doing is cultivating the inside of our community for the sake of the outside of our community. And there's a tension that we have to live in. And I just want to share a few things for us to understand for us living between these two worlds. So the first thing is this. We are distinct, but we are not isolated. And in John 17, 14 to 17, Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus is making a clear point here that his disciples are not of the world. And it's a big statement for him to say, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He likens his disciples to his own self. They are not of the world, which means that those who follow him are distinct. They're called to be different from everybody else. Jesus prays for the Father to sanctify them. Sanctify, that word just means to set apart for service to God. See, Jesus is absolutely saying that his disciples are called to be different from everybody else in the world. But here's the thing, we have to caution against that distinctness tripping over into isolation from the world. He also prays right there in that prayer that I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, which is another crazy statement. I don't know if you remember when you were in school and somebody would just, there would be a kid, like just imagine you're seven, okay? And I go, okay, Isaiah, Rob has cooties. And then everybody around Rob runs away from him. Because if you touch Rob and you get cooties, basically your entire seven-year-old life is over. And sometimes we as Christian people act this way about non-Christian people. We act like if they touch us, then we have, our lives are basically over. But we forget that that's not what Jesus has called us to do. We act as if being in too close of proximity to non-believers will ruin our own faith. Jesus is calling us to something different in this prayer, and he himself models something different. In Matthew 8, there's a man with leprosy, and he says, "If you can touch me, I'll be healed." And Jesus does touch him, and this is an actual person who had a disease that Jesus could have gotten. And this is the thing that we're supposed to be imitating from him. What he says is, "Set them apart, but do not take them out of the world. Keep them safe in it." See, Jesus is praying what God intended for humanity all along, if we really think about it. See, I want to read something to you from Genesis 12, 1-3. And it's not going to be up on the screen, but I'm going to read it now. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" See, from the beginning, after Adam and Eve fell, this is God's next action in the humanity project. What he does is call this man named Abraham. This call is the birth of the people of Israel that the rest of the Old Testament is about. And what he does here is he calls Abraham and he says, "You and your family are going to be a distinct people." But the objective of them being a distinct people is at the end in verse 3, that all the rest of the people of the world would come to know God and be blessed because of their distinctness. And that's the tension that we are living in. And Jesus is picking up that prayer actually in these verses here. God tells Abraham his family will be distinct, a distinct people who know God and are blessed so that the rest of the world will be blessed and know God. Jesus prays here for his disciples that they would be distinct and that they'd stay engaged in the world so that these other people would come to know him as well. So I have a question for you. Are you living distinctly? Are you living in a way that's different from the customs of the world? Are there any people in your circle that are not Christian? Are there any people in your circle that do not go to this church? Because God is calling, Jesus is calling us here to be distinct people, but not isolated people from the rest of the world. God has planted us in this world as people to not totally separate from the culture of the world, but to influence it and make a difference. We're distinct people that aren't isolated, but we are a light in the middle of the darkness of the world. Jesus prays that his disciples would be different from the world, but not taken out of it. And the next part of this prayer tells us a little bit more. Second thing is this. We are called to be missional, but we are not called to be enmeshed. In verses 18 and 19, Jesus says this. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus says he's sending them into the world just like he was sent. He's called them to be distinct in the verses before, but the purpose of that is he has the intention of sending them into the world to be different from it. Sent here means to order one to go to a place appointed. He's sending his disciples into the world just as the Father sent him. He's sending them on a mission. He wants them to have a lean towards the broken. He wants them to proclaim the good news. He wants them to be people who express his love. He's sending them on a mission, but he also wants them to be different from the place that he's sending them to. We're called to be missional, but not enmeshed. Enmeshment, I don't know if you know what enmeshment means, but it is a word that is a description of a relationship where boundaries are permeable and unclear. I read a quote from a psychologist, and they said, someone in an enmeshed relationship is overly connected and needs to meet the needs of the other person so badly that they lose touch with their own needs. And that's the balance that we're trying to strike here, is being missional in the world, but not losing sight of our own values and the things that God is calling us to do. See, in Jesus' life, we see that in order for him to lead people out of things, he had to get close to them. You know, we all know the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And we see this person talking to this person that his own disciples are wondering, why are you talking to this woman? But he talked to her and he spoke the truth to her, but it wasn't in a way that compromised his own values and own beliefs, but he spoke to her in a way that pulled her up to his level of values, not the other way around. And that's, the hard balance and the tension that we're trying to work through here. Paul wrote a letter to a church in Philippi to people who were trying to live out this balance. And in Philippians 3:20, this is what Paul says. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He tells these people that they are citizens of heaven. Have you heard this expression before, citizens of heaven? Yeah? It's a telling statement, and it's one that is important that we don't misunderstand. And so we may think of citizenship in terms of what it means for us today. And so I'm a citizen, I'm an American citizen, and so that means I live in America and I have freedom to live in America without trouble. But citizenship in that day and time was a little bit different. And if we think of it in our way, what we'll say is, I'm a citizen of heaven, and so I'm waiting to go there because that's where I really belong. There's something a little bit different going on here. He's writing to these people in Philippi. They're citizens of Rome because that's the culture, that's the power structure they're under. But they live in Philippi, which is in northern Greece. So they do not live where their citizenship lies. See, Philippi was a colony of Rome. And the way that the Roman government worked is they would go to these different places, they would take power, and they didn't want the people to come back to Rome, because that would mean Rome would be overcrowded, they wouldn't be able to feed people. What they wanted to do is they wanted to go to a place, take control of it, and establish rule there. They wanted to bring the Roman culture, the Roman values, the Roman way of life to different places. Not necessarily that they would bring the people back to where they were. Rome was trying to take over the world at this point in time, and this is the way that they were doing it. So what that means for us is, think of the church as a colony of heaven, just like Rome. Philippi is a colony of Rome. We are, as the church, are a colony of heaven, the same way. So our task is to live out the rule and reign of Jesus Christ here on earth where Jesus has called us to be. So to be a citizen of heaven means that we are living on earth and we are bringing the benefits of heaven, the ways of living of Jesus, the practices of Jesus, right here to earth. Isn't that what Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer? That God's kingdom would come and his will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven? And that's what we're doing. Paul is telling these people who are followers of Jesus, who are citizens of a Roman government that does not like him, that what they're going to do is to be on mission to bring the ways of life to a country that does not like their king. And this is what our call is, to live out the mission of Jesus in a world that opposes his teaching without becoming entangled and enmeshed with the ways that the world does things. That's a hard balance. So I have questions for you. Do you have a missional mindset? Do you have a lean towards the broken and the lost? Is there anything in your life that you are enmeshed with? Any beliefs, any ways of living, any things outside of the ways that God calls us to do things? And see, and I want us to acknowledge here that we desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit to live out the balance of these things that we're talking about this morning. We need one to lead us into truth. We need wisdom. And there's a lot of tension in balancing out these things. And I don't particularly want to resolve it for us this morning, because I don't want to come here and give a quick and easy and smooth answer and this is how you do it kind of thing, because once we get outside of the walls of our church, it's not as cut and dry as that. And we have to learn how to live in the tension of the things that God is calling us to do within the world. We each need the Holy Spirit to understand deeper where we are in this. This is the last thing. Loving community is not just about us. In verses 20 and 21, Jesus says this, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." In this next part of the prayer, we find Jesus praying for those who don't even know him yet. You know, there was once upon a time where this prayer was about you. There's a time where it was about me, where we didn't know Christ and we were depending on the word of someone else to give it to us. And this is the interesting thing about the message of Jesus. It has been passed down through generations by word of mouth. There hadn't been a great ad campaign. It has depended on every generation of Christ followers passing the message to the next generation. And it has happened since Jesus was raised from the dead. This part of the prayer tells us once again that our life as believers is not only about us. And what is the objective of what he prays? It's right there at the end, that we would all be one. That we would all be one as we would share the oneness that Jesus and the Father share. Think about how crazy that is. United, not the type of unity that's just a regular unity, but a unity that is based on the unity between the Father and Son. And this is the tension of our series. Who is the person that is depending on your word that Jesus is praying for in these verses? We were created for one another. We learn to accept one another, we encourage one another, and those things produce a love in this community. And the love that's produced in this community should spread outside of it. And for us, we have to remember that we are distinct, but we're not isolated. We're missional, but we are not enmeshed. And the loving community that we create is not only about us. So I want you to take some time to think about where you find yourself this morning. We have a little bit of time that we can use to respond. And so, Pastor Derek talked about the fact that we're in circles this morning. And so I really would love for Donnie, if you'll just play softly for 5 minutes. And I'd love for you to talk to the people at your table. Talk and pray just for the next 5 minutes about where the Holy Spirit is leading you in response to this message. Have you begun to get a little bit isolated from the world? Are you leaning too much into community that you're forgetting that there's something else that the Lord wants us to do? Do you have beliefs that are too enmeshed with the ways of the world right now? And have you forgotten that our loving community has a goal and an objective with it? So just take a few minutes to just think. If you want to think by yourself, and I think the prayer team is going to be coming up, so if you want to come to the altars are open as well, but I definitely want us to utilize the fact that we are in circles today. And so have a discussion with the people at your table, and I'll come back out and pray for us in just a minute, okay? Would you stand with me? Can we stand together? Let me pray for us this morning as we prepare to leave. Father, thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the high calling of living out the balance and being able to create a loving community of your people. And God, as we go, I pray that you help us to live out the balance of loving one another so well here that love overflows into the world outside, and that we can be a light in the midst of a very dark world. Pray that your Holy Spirit would come to each of us and show us the ways in which that you are calling us to live this out. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.